can go to Acts 15. What I want us to do is look at verse 1. All right, now, to go back, we're talking about, are you justified by faith or are you justified by works? And the answer is yes. The answer is both, but you have to bring really into context what we were talking about. So we did a little bit of an introduction last week, and I know I sort of cut it in a place, but if I wouldn't have sawed it off right there, we would have had to start on another whole new tree, and it would have been like a forest. We're just going to take our time and go through this just how the Father wants us to take it, because I will tell you this, that it is a different mindset. Whenever I was in Christianity and in the church, I'm still a believer in Yeshua, so I have to clarify that. The thing about it is I read the scriptures different. I was taught different. The Old Testament was never bearing on anything I used to learn as when I was a kid coming up. But now we understand that the whole Testament is bearing on everything. Amen? So with that, it's so important, because what people seem to do is grab a scripture out of Galatians. Now, realizing how many epistles did Paul write? At least probably, I think, 13. So however many he wrote, whether he wrote Hebrews or not, I don't know. I don't know who wrote Hebrews. Person who wrote Hebrews knows he wrote Hebrews. Amen? So I can tell you that much, whoever it was. But what I can tell you is this, is that people will take one or two scripture verses out of 13 letters and base a whole belief on that. Come on. So that's what we are fighting, and that's what we've had to learn to combat, because people are so adamant not to do what the Father asked them to do. They don't mean it that way. Their heart is not that way. They just don't know, because they've been taught all that stuff has been done away with because of misunderstanding the scripture. So I'm going to give you a great example of what Paul and they were fighting by using Acts 15, okay? So verse 1 says this. This is important. You got to put this in your mind right now. Salvation by status or salvation by faith, okay? Salvation by status or ethnicity or salvation by faith. That's what we're talking about here in this chapter. But some men came down from Judea. Now that means that these were Jewish believers. These were Jewish men who believed that Yeshua was the Messiah, okay? And were teaching brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. ESV says custom. King James says manner. Does anybody have a different word other than unless you are circumcised according to the custom or manner? Practice. Does anybody say law? What translation? And that's the wrong translation. I mean, it's bad because the word is ethos. I was hoping that that would come out. But do you hear how many times you heard manner, custom, practice? And then you had one that said law. But the word is ethos, which means custom. It's not law. Custom means usage prescribed by law, not law, but by law. Institute a rite. And what is a rite? A religious or ceremonial act. This is important because listen to now what verse 1 says. Because 99% of the time when you read verse 1, you read it as the law of Moses. That's what you read it as. But it says this, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. So here's the question. What is this custom? Verse 2 says, after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about what? This question. So now there's a question. What is the question is the most important thing. The question is circumcision according to the custom of Moses? Genesis 12. All right, you know the story. We had Adam, and we had Eve, and we had all the rest of them. We had Noah. Noah, you had a great flood. They started over again. But Yahweh chose a man after that, and his name was Abraham. He chose a man, and he told Abraham, or Abram at the time, he says, I will make you a great nation, and in you all of the nations will be blessed. But he made Abraham and his offspring a great nation. So he made a covenant with a man. And with this man, from that, you have the nation, only one nation, you have the nation of Israel, that he made a covenant. The promise came through him and through who? Really, him and his seed, Yeshua. That's what it's about. This is, now understand, work with me here a little bit on this, because this is the issue here at hand. Verse 1, some of the men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers. These men were believers in Yeshua. They were believers in the Messiah. Understand, during the first century at this time, here was the thing. How could you, Torrington, come up here for me. I'm going to let him be a Gentile. Here was the problem. Me as a Jew, me as a believer in Yeshua, I understand that the covenant was made with me and the nation of Israel. But that covenant wasn't made with the Gentiles. They had their own pagans, they had their own gods, and they had their own system. But all of a sudden, he wants to come in to know about Yahweh Yeshua. He wants to be grafted in. Well, how does this happen? Me as a man from Judea, well, he needs to be circumcised according to the customs of Moses. Now, I'm going to read you something in a minute, but here's the thing. The customs of Moses in this circumcision is no longer Genesis 17. It is the reason why I need him to be circumcised is because my Gentile brother was raised around pagan temples and pagan worship and pagan everything else. So if he's going to be coming into fellowship, walk with me a little bit. If he's going to be coming into fellowship, how am I going to make sure he ain't going to the pagan temples anymore? So what they did at the time before this happened, they had a man-made law called proselyting. And they would circumcise them, and then that made sure, this is before Yeshua, they had this, the man-made law, proselyting, because that's not in the Torah. So they put up a way to make sure that my good old Gentile brother, who is now a Jew man now, but by doing that, what did he have to do? He had to leave his family. He had to leave everything. He had to leave all the pay. So what did he do? He took upon him the very yoke of not only the written Torah, the oral Torah. Paul said, we got a problem. Because what you're saying is for him to be saved, he's got to convert to Judaism. Is he saved by ethnicity status, or is he saved by faith? That's the question. That's what's going on right now. And Paul was saying, wait a minute. Now, these men were doing the best they could to protect the integrity of the Torah and their religion and what they were doing in worship. They didn't have a bad heart about what they were doing, but yet it was wrong, because it was being perceived that you're not saved by faith, but you're saved by status, ethnicity, by that of works. Okay, y'all tracking with me? Head on down there, my little Gentile brother. Thank you very much. So this is what was happening. This was the question. So now, verse 3, it says, so being sent on their way by the congregation, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles. Now, Paul is describing this. So he's, the very conversion of the Gentiles is by faith, not by status. It says, when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed. I want you to realize this. They were welcomed. These men came in and they were welcomed by the congregation, the apostles, and the elders. And they declared that all that Elohim had done with them. Now, verse 5. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees. We stop right there. These are not the Pharisees who are not believers in Yeshua. Paul, at this time, is a believer in Yeshua, is he not? But he said he was a what? A Pharisee. There were different people of different sects and groups, and I can't name them all, who believed Yeshua, but they still had that mindset of the way they were taught through Hillel or through Shammai. They had that mindset of the way they looked at the scriptures, just like me and you today. I was raised Baptist, And then I ended up going to a Pentecostal church, went to Assemblies of God, where in the Baptist church, when they said, let us pray, everybody was silent, your head was down, your eyes was closed, and one person prayed. The Assemblies of God, they said, let us pray, and it was a free-for-all. I mean, here they went. I put my head down, and whoom, I'm like, and so I had one eye open when I first came into the Holy Ghost thing. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Is this order? Is this, because me being a Baptist, I was totally confused with the mass prayer. And I was confused how Yahweh could discern what everybody was saying at the same time. Because I sure couldn't. But you see the way I was trained. And when I went into that, first thing that I would say is this of God? That's the first thing we, is this of God? Because I know he can't understand all these people talking at the same time. Not in my little peanut brain, thinking that he can't multitask. He's dealing with a nation and world and universe of people. And here I'm thinking he can't hear everybody at one time. Because I looked at everything, what? Through my eyes. Through how I was raised, through the denomination. So what happens is when Yeshua shows up on the scene, death, burial, and resurrection, and the apostles are teaching them, they're still looking at this newbound faith walk through what? The old eyes of Pharisee, Sadducee, Essene, or whatever they may be. In that. Understand that? So you got to work with what's going on here of how they were looking at things and why this was a major question. But what we've done here is because we don't understand as a church today in the 2017, because we have thrown away the Torah and we don't understand that, how are you going to understand Acts 15, you can't. So now you see why people, I raised my hand, I was the first one. If I learn wrong, I know wrong. If I'm taught wrong, that's just the way it is. And we were the blind leading the blind back in the day. Amen, we're just that way. But I tell you right now, our intentions were awesome. But the problem is our intentions were led in all different directions. And I can really say this and clear this up for everybody in all the denominations. If everybody understood that word, you wouldn't have but one denomination. But how many do we have? Case closed. That's what I'm saying. So everybody is applying what they think it says. Now they can look at me and say, you're doing the same thing. And you know what? They're right. I'm applying what I believe that it says. That's what faith is about, trying to learn to do. But I do believe the Father, because you know what? He says that he would do something. He said he would do something. Signs and wonders would follow those who believe. And I am seeing now signs and wonders. Look, guys, when somebody has an accident and you pray and these people are raised up, that's a good sign and a wonder. You know, we prayed for this hand to be healed, but it didn't get healed like Sondra wanted it to be healed. But there's a working that he's going to work in Sondra's life through this deal, and she'll have a testimony afterwards about it, how great Yahweh is. Right now, she probably ain't so happy. But the deal is, but the thing is, but hey, that's what happens in our life. The Father will work certain things in us, because sometimes we get busy, don't we, Sondra? And I know he doesn't know how busy you are. He doesn't. And he doesn't know you're fixing to retire and you're building a house. You need to move. You got to pack. You got to do that. What happened? That's right. The concrete got in the way and you fell down. And Yahweh didn't. Fell out in the spirit. Right there. Broke her hand. But what happens in life, this is what happens. We don't realize that the Father, do you not realize? Yeah, he knows. He knows, and she'll have a testimony about why she went through the journey that she went through. It's just going to take patience to get there. But the thing about it is, this is the way the Father works. So with us, you have to realize, how were they thinking at the time? Tammy, did you have something?
When we read it from our Western mindset, mm-hmm. just the English words, and we don't understand, there were several sects of even Phariseeism, the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel. The house of Shammai had very, very, very strict standards about the Gentiles.
That's right.
Lots of halakhic fences around the commandments to make sure that they did not learn the way of the pagan. So therefore, that's what Paul, he's from Gamaliel, who was Hillel, right? So Paul's viewpoint was from Hillel, right? Gamaliel and Hillel.
Correct.
That's why there's this sharp dispute going on in Acts, Because you have the house of Hillel fighting with the house of Shammai on their different standards of the inclusion of the nations coming in.
But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, now this is what they said, it is necessary to circumcise them and order them to keep the law of Moses. And do you know what? Paul ain't got a problem with that. Paul ain't got a problem with circumcision. He understands Genesis 17, 10, and 11. He don't have a problem with circumcision, and he doesn't have a problem with them keeping the law of Moses. Only problem he had was the custom, was the oral and the written was being intertwined, and they were arguing over something. But they threw this out here, and you don't see Paul arguing about it. He didn't make a response. Paul is not arguing this point here. This is, they said this. This is a true statement. Then it says this in verse 6. It says, the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. So there was a matter about this argument and this debate which was going on. Now look at the next verse. It said, after there had been what? Much debate. In other words, there's a lot of jawing about what's going on here. They didn't spend just a couple of minutes on this matter. They had been wrangling an issue, and they've been going through this debate for a while. So after much debate, that's what this much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brothers, you know that in the early days, Elohim made a choice among you, that by my mouth, the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Elohim, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, what is he talking about here? Acts 10. Remember when Peter went to Cornelius' house? And he said that he went there and he ministered. Now, Peter was having a problem. He didn't go to the Gentiles. So really, the first apostle that was sent to the Gentiles was who? Was Peter. It wasn't Paul, it was Peter. But you're right, I'm glad you said Paul, because you know what? That's what I was thinking. Because Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. But the first one he went to was Peter. Peter went to it in Acts 10 because the angel of Yahweh said, go here, there's going to be men. He goes, he ministers the Holy Spirit, and that's what he's talking about. He's saying, you know what? I didn't take out the flint knife and start cutting before the Holy Spirit fell on them. So what you guys are saying, in other words, I didn't proselyte these people. In Peter's mind, he understood what proselyting was. But he got the revelation, and this is why Peter was sent in Acts 10, because the Father knew that he was going to have to do something in Acts 15. He was going to have to walk out by experience of what happened to these people, because the Holy Spirit fell on them when they received the word by what? By faith. And he said, there is no distinction between us and them. The Father made no distinction, guys. What am I to say? Am I to stand here? I witnessed this. There's a reason why all of this stuff happened. There's reasons why these things happened, because the Father knew that there was going to be a council one day, and Peter had to be able to stand up with evidence, not just with hearsay and not just with thus saith Isaiah. He ended up standing up what was prophesied by Joel and what happened when the Holy Spirit fell. He said, this happened to these people, and these people, there was no distinction. So guess what? Salvation is by faith. And this is where we're at right now in this picture. Amen? Look at the next verse. This is the one that a lot of Christians use, that the law is done away with. Because it's a bad thing. The law is demonic. What does it say? It says, now, therefore, why are you putting Elohim to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Now, here's the question. What is the yoke? You have to answer the question, because the way this thing is worded and the way I was taught was, why in the world do I have to eat kosher? Why do I have to go on Saturday? Why do I have to wear a tzitzit? Why do I have to keep the feast? I mean, I was good eating my crab claws and my crawfish. I was good with going on Sunday. that way, because, I mean, fly in, you know, blow in, blow up, blow out, and go to Flint Creek, go fish. I was good with Christmas and Easter. I was good with all of these things until all of this stuff hit me. And so I was taught that doing these Jewish things was what?
A yoke.
But what we were doing was not a yoke. When I came into this, understanding the Torah and understanding years before I even knew there was a Torah, all I knew was Torah, Torah, Torah was some Japanese movie that happened over there in a thing. If y'all have ever seen, that's all I knew about Torah. But the thing about it is this. When I came into feast and festivals, so we didn't come into Shabbat. We were ignorant. Because there again, I was trying to prove my brother wrong about Christmas. I just went to the encyclopedia. I went to Britannica. I didn't even go to no religious people. Because religious people, everybody had an opinion. I sort of felt like a heathen wouldn't have a dog in the fight. So I went right there to see what the heathen said. And they just flat out said that it's pagan. And they flat out said that in the early days, it was against the law in the United States to do Christmas. And I'm like, what? This can't be right. So I close this encyclopedia, and I go get me a holier encyclopedia. Maybe Britannica, or now went and get World Atlas or something. There you go. I'm opening all this. So I am not getting the answers. And so I'm going through all this stuff, and then I come to her. I said, you know what? We got a problem. And I told her, and she said, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I went and talked to her dad. I said, we got a problem. And he read it, and he said, you know what? We got a problem. And so we went from this problem. Now what are we going to do? Because now it's one of these, if you know it's wrong, you need to do something about it, you know. So we slowly started. This is our testimony. We slowly, you know, what we'll do is we'll get rid of the tree. Because I understood. They'll say, well, you don't bow down to the tree and you don't worship. I heard all that. I said, well, how do you get the presents down there? And how do you get them up? That's sort of bowing to me. So I ain't going to do the tree thing. What are you going to do? Put it on a table where I can just slide up there and grab that thing? I mean, this is, I'm telling you, this is how crazy we was. We were trying to shoehorn how to get stuff under the tree without bowing. So we quit that deal, right? We quit. We shoehorned everything we know to do that. I'm just saying. Because you know what? Because we had pride. We didn't want to be wrong. We didn't want to be wrong because we had done these things all these years and we didn't want to be wrong. Because now, if we change and we tell somebody, I don't do Christmas. Excuse me? Are you having a good Christmas? I don't do Christmas. Because if you do that, and you know what? I can go through Walmart. Everybody can go through there. What are you getting for Christmas? You didn't ask the other 10 people. Why are you asking me? Why are you asking me? Ask my wife. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not funny, but that's a good out. If you need an out, ask her. Just saying, for all us men, sometimes we need a good out. Amen? So what do? So we go through this. And then, the children, you know. Oh, it's funny, when Hannah had her little children, when they come up, it was really funny then, because we'd done been through all of this, and, you know, the people up there, and they'll say, what's Santa going to get you? He pagan. I'm like, oh. Come on, Coleman. Oh, he pagan. I said, you already said that. He pagan. Okay. The man, the big old man in the suit's pagan, man. Just... we good. Put that sucker back in your mouth. Is that not the way we do? We don't want the spotlight on us. But Steve, it's all that he said. But the Father wants us to proclaim into this earth. And that's why we have to proclaim. Because I promise you, when you go through the line, you don't want to deal with issues. But boy, they come out. And I promise you, you notice that when you go through there, get ready, the season's coming. Try to watch something on Hallmark right now. Everything's on there. It's Christmas. All movies are Christmas from now till July. Yeah, there's not a Thanksgiving thing on there. Thanksgiving? Now, they'll put a Halloween one on there. They'll get the boogers on there. But other than that, they ain't got a Thanksgiving. They ain't going to do nothing wholesome. That's right. The thing about it is this is where we go, and this is what we do, and this is what we deal with, because we're in this time frame. And what happens is we replaced, and when I started learning that what I had learned was wrong, and we started making these changes, guys, I will promise you, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. It is not easy. It was not easy. I was embarrassed. I didn't know what to say. We didn't even know there was such thing as a Torah back then. I'm telling you, we were doing this from a Gentile mindset. We made a lot of mistakes. You know, we just sit here and I, you know, when you, the very moment you thought you knew something, you went out there and, you know, bless God, this is what it is. And they threw a scripture at you and said, I'll be right back. You know, because, man, they done stumped you. Now you're back in the Strong's Concordance, man. You're running references. And I said, oh, my goodness. So here we are. And this is really and truly a lot what they were going through during this day. Yes.
I just got to put my two cents.
Go ahead, girl.
It's actually mind-blowing when you study and you come to a realization of something like that, that, hey, maybe I learned it wrong. This is what he says to do. Maybe I should do it. And you actually walk it out. Your mind will be blown because he keeps revealing more things to you when you're obedient to what he said.
Absolutely.
He just blows your mind, and it's just an awesome experience, really.
It is.
It's funny. It's hard. Yeah, sometimes it's embarrassing, but it's your personal walk with the Father.
Amen.
And he's amazing.
He is amazing. Because what she's saying is this. We got rid of the tree, got rid of the lights, and then we said we'd only... because everything's about the kids. So we'll only get gifts for the kids. Well, the kids love that. We were trying to still shoehorn this thing. And finally, when we cut it, the moment that we cut it and we didn't do it anymore, then revelation came. Then revelation to the neck. You said it. Once you start walking in obedience, the light goes off. As long as you're trying to figure out how to get the present out from under the tree without bowing, you're going to stay in that fog for a long time. But until you start walking in it, that's when revelation comes. You can know about stuff. You can know that it may be this, that, or the other. That don't do a lick of good. You just got knowledge about it. But when you walk in it is the key. Once you start obeying, then revelation starts coming, and that's what happened to us. And it just took us a while to where we ended up, believe it or not, in the feast, doing it all different ways, you know. It got liberating when we made up our mind to walk the way he said. But boy, I was in bondage trying to do both. And I went all of that to say this point here. When I came into this, I said, well, I'm going to eat kosher. I'm doing Shabbat, doing the feast. I'm not doing Christmas and Easter. And then we understand somehow or another in the Godhead that he's a God. He's one. You know, however you want to, you know, figure that out, I'm good with it. I've read, and I don't know if anybody's figured that out yet. But the thing about it is, but I was told by my great Christian family. Now, they're telling me I'm under the bondage of the law and I'm trying to work out my salvation, that I'm trampling under the blood of Jesus because I am doing it by works. I said, okay. And they said, and furthermore, if you don't do Christmas and Easter and believe the Trinity, you can't be saved. I said, what'd you tell me? I said, you're telling me that I'm trying to work my way to heaven, and you just threw on me three Christian things that I got to do to get to heaven? I thought it was by, you just said it was by Christmas and Easter and the Trinity. They said, well, I said, they ain't no well, I'm just saying. See, what am I really saying? Well, what happens is, and I'm not beating anybody down, but I'm saying it, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Assembly of God, Church of God, whatever you go to, okay, they have the way that they walk out their commandments. They have their belief about the Godhead. They have their belief. UPC, they have their beliefs. Go in there with makeup. You'll find out some beliefs. I'm just saying, because they have a certain way you have to look. And you can't be saved unless you speak in tongues. We come up with all of this stuff. I mean, we got a whole barrage of stuff. And then they want to sit here and say and tell me that I'm the one who's trying to work my way to heaven? And when you got the same amount of rules and regulations, you wear a short sleeve shirt, you're sinning. Am I telling you? So what I'm saying is, wait a minute. Don't start on me about the Torah. And then you're going to have a whole bunch of, you got to wear cotton and not linen or whatever you got to do. I don't know. It says don't shave your head. But what I'm going to do, all my hair is falling out. I told Tammy a while ago, she said, I got to shave your neck. I said, no, just leave it there. I can just comb it over the top. I said, I probably have the longest comb over in history. But why all of a sudden when this starts going here, it just starts going out right here? I mean, is it like going in the wrong direction? I'm like, yeah, I ain't going there. Man, it's growing everywhere that's supposed to grow. I'm just going to comb it all over. I'm trying to grow a beard to be Jewish. You know, I can't grow nothing. Can't get on the side. I got this right here grow this long. Look like a goat. You know what I'm saying? I can't get nothing to grow on the side. I'm all messed up. The older I get, it just, things grow where they're supposed to grow, Terry. That's all I can say. How did we get there? It's about this yoke thing. It's about this yoke deal. Okay, so back in verse 10. In other words, what the yoke is this. In verse 11, he says, but we believe that we will be saved through the grace of our master, Yeshua, just as they will. So Peter, what he's doing is he's telling them, guys, look, the same way that we come to Yeshua is by faith, they're going to come the same way. But there was a legitimate issue. The legitimate issue was, how are we going to deal with this? And that's what they were dealing with, okay? That's what they were dealing with. All right, how in the world did I get there? Let me put that right there for a moment. Okay, verse 12. Because it is very important, because I want you to see something here. Tim Hegg, I got this out of a little article, because I was reading a lot of stuff. I just want to read this little piece about this yoke. It says, but here is the crux. For the proper interpretation of the passage, would Peter have referred to the written Torah as a yoke that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? The common answer of Christians' interpretations today is a resounding yes. Thinking that the position of the Jews of his day believed that their salvation was gained through obedience of the Torah, Peter's statement is interpreted as a ringing declaration against salvation by works. But the council, now listen to this, the council was not debating whether or not salvation was gained by works. That was never the issue. But Christianity made that the issue. That's the problem. When at the very verse 2, when I told you in verse 2, it says, and the elders about this question, you got to answer what was the question. But what happened is Christianity changed the question. And they started using this text to answer a question that was never asked, and that was the question. They were never debating whether salvation was gained by works or not. That's not what they were debating. No one, including the men from Judea, who were insisting that the Gentiles become proselytes, believed that anyone gained a place in the world to come by a complete keeping of Torah. As I've already noted, the prevailing view was that the place of the world to come was a gracious gift of Elohim to every Israelite. The Israelites always taught that salvation was by grace through faith. They always taught that. They got saved coming out of Egypt. The blood was in Egypt, was placed, they went out. The law was given at Sinai. The Torah was given later to show us how to be obedient to Him, to keep ourselves away from falling back into sin. Furthermore, Peter is describing the written Torah by calling it a yoke neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Then he is putting the scriptures and the true gospel message at odds. But we know that Peter did not do this. And I'm going to read a scripture here, and I think it's in Acts 2. Well, y'all know this, Acts 2, 38, 39. It says, repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, for the forgiveness of his sins. Because I want you to listen to something, because we don't ever go to 39. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you. Now, Peter's talking to his Jewish brethren here in Acts 2. He's saying, the promise is for you and for your children But he said something else profound. And for all who are afar off, as many as Yahweh Elohim calls to himself. So Peter told them in the very words here, repent and be baptized, because salvation is for you and your children, but guess what? For those who are afar off. And as many that will call on his name shall be saved. So the issue was never works to start with. But what they've done was, is there is a problem with this yoke. And the yoke was, is status. They could not reconcile in their mind, how can I get a Gentile? Because only an Israelite had salvation. Only an Israelite could get to heaven in our terms. But how do you get him to heaven? Well, he's got to be a Jew. So they made up a man-made way. You want to accept Yeshua? Great. That's not enough. You got to be a Jew, because only us, we can only go to heaven. So if you want to follow us there, you got to be like we are. You got to be one of us. That was their mindset, and it was wrong. That's what they were fighting, and understandably so. I mean, all of this just happened to them at one moment. I mean, one moment, they don't even know about Messiah. And then they realize that Yeshua is the Messiah. They were so much changing in their life. They were so grounded in, well, just their stuff, their doctrine. They were so much grounded because they had so many fences, guys. There's 6, maybe 7 attributes to Shabbat. There's only 6 or 7. But if you'll go, there's 1,586 laws to do Shabbat. Why did the Jews make these laws? Because they didn't want to break the 6 or 7 that is really Torah commandments. So they made 1,586. That's the yoke that he's talking about. And what happened is when they grew up in their denomination, y'all can understand this when I say this way. When we grew up in our denomination, I knew what it was like to be a Baptist. I knew what they believed. I knew what they didn't believe. I knew tongues was of the devil. You know, I knew all of that stuff because that's what I was taught when I was back then. And then I had all my friends who got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues. And I'm like, man, look, are now they devil worshipers? You know, I had an issue. So what I'm saying, as a kid, now I'm all confused. You know, because really and truly, when we first started in Loosedale, when all we had was a chicken shack to eat at in the coffee pot, and there was nothing else. I mean, you might have had maybe a red light in town. And the thing about it is, when you grow up in a culture to where, I mean, you talking redneck, we was redneck when it was red. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just that way. When you just, and then all of a sudden when things start happening, you realize, you know, there's a world out there. There's something out there other than just the way I was raised in my little bubble. And that's what happens when you're so, if you were a Catholic, you believed in Catholicism. You believed in baptism, you believed in catechism, and you believed in the isms. And you believed that if you were going to mess up, you had to go ahead and mess up good, because you can go into the little booth and make it right. So you can do these little things. Yeah. So what I'm saying is whatever denomination you was raised in, there was something that you played by the rules. There's no different. There have always been rules. But what happened to the Jewish people of the day, they took the oral Torah and they took the written Torah and they went, and they made it. And guess what? That's why Yeshua said, by your traditions, you made the word of Elohim none effect. Now, I have to say this. All traditions are not bad. It is commanded for us to set Shabbat apart, to make sure it's not common. How you do it's up to you. I mean, as long as it's kosher. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how you want to do and what little way, but you need to set it apart, because this day is set apart. You do something to make this day not common. That's what we do. So how you do it becomes what? If you light a candle, you're doing a tradition. There's no commandment there. And if you don't light a candle, you're doing a tradition. However you decide to do it, it becomes a tradition. So all traditions are not bad. I just want to make sure that you understand that. All right, now I got to move on. I want to finish up. Because then 15 and 16, because he said their prophets agree about this. Verse 16, he says, after this, I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it. that the remnant of mankind may seek the master. And look what it said. All of the Gentiles who are called by my name, says Yahweh, who makes these things known from of what? Old. What do you think the old is? It's always been that way. It has always been that way. And Yahweh always had a place for all the nations who are called by my name. There's a place for them. It's always been that way. But the Jews and their willingness to make sure that they, like I had Tori up here a while ago, for a Gentile, the only way that a Jew thought about a Gentile was that dude was a pagan. I mean, he was like a walking boar hog. What did Yeshua say? It's not right to give the children's bread to the what? He said dogs. What I'm saying is there's a mindset there. We're politically correct today, so that's an ugly thing to say. Oh, if I call my wife a dog, it would not be good. Amen? So this is a mindset. Picture now what's fixing to happen here. And I'm going to finish up with this because they were asked to do four things. And there's a reason why they were asked to do these four things. Verse 19, therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to Elohim, but do you know what he's going to do? He is going to give them a baby yoke. He's going to give them a baby yoke. He's going to give them four things. He's going to give them four fences. Now, they're based off the Torah, but he's going to give them four fences. But he says, but should write to them that they abstain from things that are polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things that have been strangled, and from blood. Right there, I want you to understand, I've always said this, these were four things that he gave them, but really he only gave them one. To abstain from idolatry. That's what he's saying in the four. Because these four were part of pagan worship in a pagan temple. It is not right for them to have a status change. But how are we going to make sure, Terry, that we can... Come on back up here, Tori. How am I going to make sure, through his conversion, how am I going to make sure that when I'm over here and he's at home, I don't know where he's been. I don't have Sabbath police running around checking on him. I don't know where he's been or what he's doing. Because, see, a lot of times when they went into a pagan temple, it wasn't just a worship. It was a social thing. It was a social thing. Sometimes they had pagan temples and you went in there to do social things. But yet, what would they do? They would sit down and they would eat. And what would they eat? Things that were offered up to idols. Whether they were strangled, blood, or whatever was going on. And so the thing is me, that is so beyond disgusting. But how am I going to make sure that he's not defiling himself? So James and the elders said, this is what we'll do. My brother, you got to stay out in pagan temples. Because if I put this on him, because in Corinth, when they went to the games, I ain't going to go there. Just to let you know that that's where a lot of the sexual immorality happened when they went to these games and stuff. So what happened is, and where did that happen? The pagan temples. They put these four, which is one, idolatry, don't go there. And by putting those four, he couldn't go there because one of the four was being done. You see what I'm saying? And that's why they put the four, had to do with idolatry. But you know what? It was a yoke. It comes from the Torah, but it was a fence. And they put a fence. And you know what? What you loose on earth shall be loosed. What you bind on earth shall be bound. Do you know that he gave the apostles the right to do that? And they did that, and that's what they told them to do. Because guess what happens next? From the ancient generations, Moses has in every city those who proclaim him. For he is read on every Sunday in the synagogues. So what am I saying? All I'm saying is this. And I'm closing with this. Every Shabbat, they would be hearing the Torah read. They would understand and be taught the laws and commandments. They would be taught what to do, not to do. how to do, how not to do. They would learn just like us. Because there again, I remembered in the days of old, she had the conviction. She don't eat beans that had pork in it. I had the conviction. I just moved it out of the way. I mean, because there again, you go into a restaurant. Man, why ain't you eating this? Well, it's got pork in it. You know, got bacon in it. You know, all that stuff. You know, you sit over here. Because why is it always when you go into Morrison's, they want to give you stuff that's got pork? You, everybody else, when they go through the line, I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take this. And then I walk through the line, this is what you need. Give me a break, somebody. You know, I don't want that. Well, why don't you want that? Looking under the hood, you know. Goodness, can somebody give me a break? But he wants us to testify. So I just learned to testify. I ain't eating pork because we don't eat pork because it's against Leviticus. Okay. Might as well beat him to the punch. You know what I'm saying? Just work with me. But the deal is this, is that the whole big thing is this. They did have to find a way. And it was a really with a good heart because they had to find a way. How can we worship together? Table fellowship. Because they believed that when you eat together, you're in covenant. When I eat with Cherie, I got her back. That means when somebody comes after her, guess what? I'm showing up. I'm protecting her. That's what we do. And that's what it means when you eat with somebody. That's right, because the table was an altar, and that's the way they looked at it. So hopefully you can see here that that's what Acts 15 was dealing with. And then from there, we will go into Romans, and we will let you really see where really Paul, he balances up what he was saying, because you're really going to now see in Galatians, and I'll just tell you this up front, Galatians 3:1, and it says this, "Who has bewitched you?" And that's what he was talking about. Because men came in after he had been there teaching and left. And men came in and said what? Unless you're circumcised, you cannot be saved. Unless you do this, that's what he was saying. And he got all fired up. And he sat there and he said, no, you don't. He said, did you receive the Spirit by the faith or did you receive it by works? And he's talking about what? The works of being circumcised for status. He said, no, you... So that's really what Galatians is about. But we'll go into Romans next week. Let's pray. Father, we do just thank you. And I just pray, Father, that as we understand your word, so because we're going to have to be able to minister this to our brethren. It had to be ministered to me. It took a while for me to understand it because I'm slow of understanding. But Father, you have been gracious and patient with me to learn these things. And I just know that, Father, that you didn't do this in vain. So it is our mandate to be able to minister to others to understand, because it is important that we obey you and we honor you. And what we do and what we say, just like what Mark ministered, if that dove was on our shoulder, what would we really do? And so, Father, I just pray that we would be a people this week would know and feel the presence of the dove. And Father, we just thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.